Hey, folks!
We released t-shirts, Dahlias and Daisies t-shirts.
Woot woot! We have t-shirts on our website, opalentertainmentmusic.com/shop. You can go there and buy yourself a little old t-shirt. They're very cool designs. I think they're super, super solid. We spent a lot of time playing around with designs and colors and all that because we wanted something that could work for both men and women, and I think we nailed it.
If your size is sold out by the time you go to the shop, please reach out to us because we'll be doing another shipment.
We will.
We just got, obviously, the first few, so
obviously
don't fret if your size is out. Please message us and yes, we will get you a shirt.
Don't fret and don't forget that without baseball we wouldn't have the Mets.
That got really slow all of a sudden. We were headed
we'll figure it out. Okay. All right, enjoy this episode of the song starting.
Chugging along, writing a song when something special comes along. It's a long-winded directionless discussion for conversationalists.
You bring the wit,
you bring the brains, and we'll talk it over between takes.
Welcome back to Between Takes with Opal Entertainment. I'm Aiden Driscoll.
And I'm Olivia O'Neill.
And today is our 50th episode! Woo woo!
We are going to be reflecting on the last 49 episodes to talk a bit about things that have changed and things we want to do moving forward.
So, as always, if that's your jam, sit back and enjoy this week's episode of
Between Takes.
But I hate Alabama, because that's where I lost you.
That was Olivia Neal.
You're welcome.
Singing I Hate Alabama by Connor Smith. Coming up next, Olivia Neal will be doing the entire Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Take it away, Liv.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Probably the start of the song. Welcome back to the show, folks. How you doing, Liv?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited. This is our 50th episode.
Woo woo.
Super, super, super stoked, as you can tell by my co-host here. This has been really cool. I don't think I've ever really stuck to anything this long. So it's been very...
Except for your tea.
My tea?
Having tea every day.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't make it that consistent.
Every time you want some tea, you have it.
I guess.
That's... That sounded so dumb.
Well...
Let's back it up just a little bit.
Just real quick, right now, the folks at home can't see, but Liv has a hoodie on with a little blankie around her shoulders, and she looks a little bit like a nun of sorts. That's all.
That's what I'm feeling today.
Feeling very nun-like?
It's cozy. It's raining.
It is raining. It's the first time it's rained in like 6 weeks. So I'm happy about it.
Summer is over.
Okay, pull up, Liv. You're on those days. So we're gonna talk about 50 episodes. Liv, looking back on the past 49 episodes, what have you learned?
Well, Aiden, thanks for asking the question.
You're so welcome.
What have I learned regarding podcasts or just in general?
Let's start with the podcast, yeah.
I don't know. I think from our very first one, I think we've learned hopefully we're getting there, just the art of like starting out with a topic and kind of creating a beginning, middle, and end, and then like wrapping it up in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like necessarily like we come to a conclusion, but we make a storyline. It's not just us like going on and on mostly.
That particular segment of that conversation reaches a more natural conclusion. Yeah.
And then
this,
I just feel more confident. Like when we're out talking to other musicians or at shows that I'm like, I feel like we have, it's helped us grow our, band. What's the word? Chemistry, if you will. Like
yeah,
banter and
right,
stuff.
Right.
Even at like our last house show, that we
which
just
was
did.
So much fun.
Headlined. It was so, so, so fun.
It was the best night.
It was
so
probably
great.
One of the best performances we ever had.
I think it probably was. it was so fun. I felt
feel like we did
it,
so good.
For me, it was like a perfect balance. The first few songs, I was like, we got this. This is so fun. And then I played the solo for Dream a Little Dream of Me. And Liv, right as I was finishing, was like, Aiden Driscoll, everybody. And everyone started clapping. And all of a sudden, I started like shaking. Aww. Because I was so like excited of like, this is what it is. This is performing. And for the next like 5 songs, I was almost just like a high. This adrenaline
good.
Rush.
I thought that something like that
perfect,
would help. Yeah.
It was such a perfect blend, I think, of like, I was so excited, but nervous, but present. And it was.
And it was so, I like almost didn't do it because I was like nervous to do it. And I'd also wanted to make sure that I could hear coming in because, but I decided to do it right at the very end and everyone immediately erupted. Yeah. Like I could just tell they
were
waiting.
And it was perfect the way you did it because then as soon as like you did it, they started clapping and then your voice came in. So it wasn't like there weren't any awkward pauses.
I was
there
just going to say coming in singing when people are clapping is an amazing
thing.
It wasn't for
me.
We
should do that more often. But, but just hearing applause can give you.
Yeah. That was definitely like a good crowd for it. So I felt very good about it. Is it peaking? I saw red on the board.
Well, keep talking and I'll adjust.
Right now. Hello. Hello.
That's yellow.
Oh, but it was red. It was red just a second ago and I wasn't even yelling. Okay. Well,
okay.
You can cut that part.
I probably won't.
Great.
50th episode.
No, I was
completely
uncut. What was my train of thought going?
You were talking about how doing the podcast from the very beginning has helped like our onstage chemistry and banter and all that. That's a great point.
Just conversational skills.
I think it's also for me helped me embrace more of the attitude of like, let's just give it a shot. You know, I think that was our attitude with the podcast initially, right? Was like, well, let's just do it. Let's just give it a shot. See what happens. What's the worst thing that's going to happen, right? No one's going to listen to it and it might fizzle out. And no one's listening to it, but we're still going strong, right?
Yeah.
And it's a cool little thing to have, like, I've gone back and listened to some of the earlier episodes and been like, oh yeah, that was like a solid part of my thought process for these however many months. And we talked about it here on the one episode. Yeah. So I can like look back on that and go like, yeah, that's like a little catalog of my life right there in that 1 week.
And it's a good like break for us from music, but we're still being, you know, productive and like being able to chat, like putting aside time to be able to chat with you for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's like nice. Productive as well in this certain, in a different sense. Like, I think that's good. Yeah.
We don't have as much excuse to just
also,
like, not talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Given us so many cool opportunities to meet and talk to other musicians and just friends and people in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like we wouldn't necessarily have gotten to know them as fast if we hadn't been like, do you want to be on a podcast? Because it's almost like we're going to ask you personal questions about where you wouldn't necessarily maybe like do that just in real life, just randomly. But it's like a great gateway to like becoming friends and stuff. Yeah. And just being able to see other people in your line of work or other lines of work doing their thing and like how they're finding inspiration and being creative and stuff.
And it's been kind of cool to have a few like repeat guests where like We the Least was on a couple times and to kind of see how the first episode is much more like we're just kind of interviewing them, getting to know them. And the second one was much more of just a conversation about personally, what do we all think about, you know, these things. Or Dave was on the first time and it was much more kind of broad concepts. And the second time we talked specifically about Till We Have Faces for an hour and a half, you know.
And then like Hannah, we talked about, or she talked to us over Christmas and then recently talked to us more about writing a song in like community specifically.
Yes, you can find that video on patreon.com/opalentertainment.
She wasn't on like an actual podcast.
No, but
sorry.
It did. It felt like basically just another podcast, right? Because we were just chatting with her and talking about things. But
it's also been something that has been like a weekly upload that keeps us like pretty on our toes to get it done. I mean, I'll say this week we're cutting it a little close.
We are. And it's currently Thursday and we're releasing on Saturday.
Whoopsies.
We Which, try like, to get that's it. Enough time.
Yeah. But it's like we didn't necessarily, like, if we had to choose and we had all the time in the world, we wouldn't necessarily have wanted to, like, necessarily record tonight.
No, it would be nice to have it edited the Sunday before it releases.
But, like, we have to get it done. And so we had to sit down and do it and stuff. And that's, like, a good thing to do.
Yeah. So. It's nice. It's really easy for us to not be consistent. So it's nice.
Yeah, or just like mix it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah. This show is going to, this episode is going to be a slightly more segmented. Right now, we're going to share with you a brief highlight of the past 49 episodes. Just a few of our favorite conversational moments. And it's going to start right now. Let's see how this goes. Excited?
Yeah. Want the headphones?
No. I mean, I'll set them over here.
Okay. Well, okay. We didn't even...
What?
We have one note on our whiteboard.
This is interesting because it's like we want this to sound like our conversations normally.
Right.
But there's also an audience there.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Entertainment Opal. Oh, wait, we... Beep, beep. Let's try that again. It's lightning round. Favorite toys as a child. Mine was this leather vest that we had. It wasn't really a toy, but it was like a dress-up thing. It's a leather vest that we... It could be Han Solo's vest, or it could be... you could be a pirate.
What is happening? Oh my word.
Okay. All right.
It is three words. What is beauty?
I think part of it, and a way of looking at it, is beauty is anything that is beneficial to the human soul and anything that God deems worthwhile.
Well, shoot, let's wrap it up right now.
Can I take my socks off?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. How loud are you going to take your socks off? Really quietly and really quickly. Well, welcome to the show, Hannah and Leo.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be here.
What do you want me to say? Just my mic for a sec.
Just to test your levels.
Make sure. Hello, this is American part of the day where we're in America because we didn't turn left.
So we just decided to have her on and introduce her to the world.
Thanks for introducing me to the world. Yeah, it's so exciting to be out here.
Welcome back to Between Takes, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, sorry. Welcome back to Between... Well, how together? We have another guest on today. We have my mother and your best friend, Donna Driscoll. Woo! Welcome to the show, Mom.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Thank you.
You can go ahead whenever you're ready. We do the hoya one more time. We probably won't be going during the podcast. You never know, though. Folks, welcome Leland Aubrey to the show. Do you want me to introduce you as Taliesin or Chuck or
maybe Leland? It'll be one of those things where like they have, I have hundreds of names and they'll never know which one's my real
one.
That
sounds good. Kind of like something that's kind of similar to that.
Yeah, like that one thing. Yeah, right,
sure. How's everybody doing today?
Doing great.
So great.
Rock on.
So you've been in Nashville for a year.
We've been in Nashville for
a year.
What
have you guys been up to? How's it been?
Well, I'm glad you asked because we actually just had you on so that you could interview us.
So today we thought it would be a really fun idea to reach out to some people that we know and ask for topic ideas and some different things that we can talk about on this podcast. So it's kind of another hodgepodge, if you will, mm-hmm. But instead of just hodgepodge of our ideas, we reached out to other people to give us those.
We're having some other people to share the blame with if it goes totally out.
But it's kind of fun because it's not like we have a guest in person here. Mm-hmm. We have multiple guests.
In spirit. Wow.
And in the prompts they gave us.
Welcome to the show, Marge.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how stoked are you?
Oh my goodness, easily 10.
I didn't say which direction that like the stoking
easily
is.
10.
Welcome to the show, Harmon.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I liked it when you said my name with like a German accent.
Thanks. All right, we're rolling.
So,
oh my gosh, we're going.
Everything you say will make it out to the world.
Oh no.
So you will be held liable.
Oh man.
So who'd you guys vote for in the last?
personally.
Welcome to the show, Louis.
Thank you.
What a chaotic entrance you got.
Yes.
For your premiere on Between Takes. Do you prefer Rayani or Ray?
No, Ray is good. Okay. Nobody really remembers Rayani, okay. So Ray is just great.
Ray's cool.
Yeah.
So before we get into the heavy stuff, Del, your last name is May, right?
All day.
So if you had 50 sons and named them all Del May, and one of them only had one leg, you would have 101 Dalmatians.
That is incredible.
I'm so glad you saved that.
I did not know where that was going.
I'm
going
to need you to write that down. Yeah.
I thought of it the other day.
Yeah, I thought of that thing yesterday at some point, and I was like, yes, I did
that's
it.
That's really
I
good.
I felt
that's
so accomplished. So
have you ever good. Considered having that many children?
No. Still not considering it.
But I mean, the joke.
It's
right?
worth
joke?
It, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for the joke, it's probably worth it.
Wow. The memories we made, conversations we had, the jokes we cracked, the tears we shed. Did that rhyme? What was this line before that? I haven't edited together what the highlight reel is, so I don't know exactly what it's going to be. Hope it turned out well. But we're back.
No, but it's cool to see like all the different, how much we've talked about different, so
talked
many.
Talked a lot.
Oh, goodness. As, yeah. We talked about a lot of different things yes. and like a lot of different topics, so it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've talked a bit on the show about moving to Nashville and kind of the past year. This last June, we had a kind of reflection the last year in Nashville type thing. And then we had just like a month ago, we had 1 year between takes. What are expectations you had about the podcast, about music, about Nashville that are, which is what were those expectations going in? How different were they? How similar were they? What did you learn from the actual experiences you had?
My mind, I'm a bit of a
busybody
perfectionist, I guess. Okay. So I'm thinking of all the negative things that we haven't accomplished yet, which is like not
well,
a good. Name
some of those, but also what are some
yeah.
positive things?
There's also some positive. So expectations. I guess I thought maybe having a change of scenery from like my home because I hadn't moved out yet would make me more like make the work easier and stuff. My job and Aiden's job when we first moved here, our like day job, I guess, was not very life giving. We're at much better jobs now, thank goodness, but that was very hard to get like a lot of work done and try to like have energy to book shows. And we've talked about that a little bit, but like, look, I don't think I realized it until this new job or really made me recently was just like, wow, that was so hard. We've gotten so much more done in the last 6 months than we did
like the
for
whole
the first
last
year.
Year. Yeah.
So, but it had to be done and it was just such an, I knew it was going to be an adjustment, but I didn't realize like, how much of an adjustment of like, I don't know. I grew up and taught to be like self-sufficient. Like it wasn't like I was like, how do I do my laundry? How do I cook?
Right.
Like I, you know, I knew how to do those things, but it is just different when you feel like so isolated and by yourself sometimes. And obviously like, I knew Aiden and Eamon was there too. So it was good. We had some good roommate memories.
There's the one night we went to Target, got a whole bunch of candy, came home, watched Gilmore Girls, and played Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite roommate memories.
Yeah.
And then the one time we got, I think it's only, I remember it vividly because we have the video of it where Eamon was trying to like serve himself ice cream. And he was like looking on the box to read the directions of it and couldn't figure out how to scoop
it. He was trying
it.
To be goofy.
I mean, yeah, it was. It was very funny.
Also, memories is like Eamon used to work at a like golf club or country club or whatever, so he'd bring home wings and we would just, it would be like 11 p.m. and we'd all just eat wings around
the
table like every night. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was kind of fun.
We just waited for him. I don't even remember what we if we eat dinner, but
I remember the first like month, I think pretty much every single night while making dinner something went wrong where it's like we didn't time something right, we burnt something, it was like wasn't ready till 11 p.m.
Yeah, it was crazy. Other expectations. I thought we'd meet people a little faster, like people our age, musicians and stuff. I did not expect how much music is just around. Like I think Rochester, if anyone that's like from there, obviously, like it is just such a specific type of community.
Yeah.
That doesn't really allow for much, like, of the arts, right, unless it's like the specific things. So I wasn't expecting to come here and be able to talk to people. Oh, that's another great. I was not expecting to find a church like the first weekend we went and like these super nice people and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. But yeah, you just talk to people and it's like, oh yeah, my cousin's a producer, my friend's a music. And it's like, oh yeah. And then you can get like, even at work the other day, someone found out and they're like, oh yeah, my boyfriend is a producer if you ever have anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that would happen.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, it just kind of like became a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I also kind of like the big, like being by a big city.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
In Nashville specifically, I also like that you can kind of like, we live 30 minutes from downtown, I guess, on a good day, traffic wise. But we are also right by the woods and a lake.
Right.
So you can like be part of both.
It's like very easy to like get out of town.
Yeah. So I really like, that's just a random thing. There was something else I wanted to
mention. But even there, even if you are living closer to downtown, it's still, again, on a, depending on traffic. But yeah, it's spread out and it's still easy enough to like get out of town. Whereas like my sister lives in New York City.
Yeah.
And that's like an entire day trip if they want to like leave the city itself.
Yeah.
Whereas here, yeah, it's like we can leave for a couple hours. Even going out to like Brentwood, and there's that Radnor State Park out there, where it's like, that feels like you're out in the state park in the middle of nowhere. But you're still only 40 minutes from downtown.
I also think, I wasn't sure how, I know our music is different in the sense of like, it's hard to explain what genre it is.
Right.
So it's just kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how well it would be accepted
in
different venues and things. I'm pleasantly surprised, like at, you know, obviously some people are like not going to like it and that's fine, but it's also just like something we've learned is, you know, we played in the back of a clothing store for a festival and some of our songs like The Sullen Man or whatever, they're very like, story and or the words matter and pertain, and like the reason we're singing them is for the words. The music is cool and the melodies, but they're only enhanced by words, and so people are gonna walk up and not quite know what to hear. Where like when we played it the other night at the show, it was like people really liked it. So that was also cool to just like know, you know, oh, those types of venues, we should be playing some more old jazz stuff and like some of that. And they'll really, anyway. So just kind of making realizations about what venues kind of need what.
Yeah.
And it's also just learning that the more confident you are, the more the audience will like you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something like down on Broadway, where everyone's trying to play, you're basically a constant billboard for yourself down there.
Yeah.
And you're constantly straddling this line of, you got to play the commercial stuff. You got to play the stuff that people can dance to.
Which we haven't played down there.
Right, we haven't played down there at all. You got to play the stuff that people can sing along to, that people can dance to. And that's what the people want downtown Nashville.
Right.
So I've learned it's not really about, for me, I realized pretty quickly, we can find an audience down here. You can find an audience just about anywhere, you know? So it's like you said, like our music doesn't fit into downtown Nashville, how downtown Nashville is set up right now. But there are definitely, there are people here who like the music that we play, you know? And it's very much, it is just very dependent on the atmosphere where strangers walk into the Well, a nice chill coffee house in a more residential / college area. On a, you know, Wednesday evening to hear some live music, they're going to be open to hearing whatever, you know, and they are. And that's, you know, that's where we've met most of, pretty, I think everyone we met for the house show tour this last fall, we met at the Well.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sorry.
No, I was just thinking through, sorry, did you have more thoughts? Or
no, you go ahead.
I did not have the expectation that we would think up something such as that national, like the house tour, house show tour, gather all these people, like put ourselves out there and like ask them to be part of something.
Right.
And then do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's cool.
We did it.
So I guess, like, I have a different mindset of things now. more mm-hmm. recently of like, oh, we want a tour next summer. We can do that. We right. can do a tour. It might not right. be like we each get our right. own RV or something.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's obviously. It's not going to be perfect or necessarily like the most glamorous version no. of it.
And I don't think I really want it to be actually. I kind of like the idea of roughing it a little bit. Does that sound fun?
It sounds really fun to me. I don't know.
I would like it. I okay. think that would be fine.
Good. Just good.
Bring dry shampoo. And
okay. Yeah. And a lot know. Of pillows.
Yeah.
But it's
doable. So I guess yeah. coming here, even though it was like a big step to move here, the bigger step to me was like actually talking to people
right.
and actually like getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of your routine mm-hmm. of like whatever. And mm-hmm. obviously we're still working on it and learning. And there's days I'm more excited to right. do that thing and days that you just have to go to work and
mm-hmm.
rest. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. Still figuring it out, obviously,
right.
but it is helpful to have other people that are doing things and cool things alongside you. And you're like, oh yeah, right. they're right. working on stuff and they're doing stuff. And, you know, reassessing your goals as you go and just going for them.
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking a lot.
You are talking
really
a lot.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
What do you learn? What did you learn?
What do you learn? Tell me about what you learned. I think a lot of that, I think realizing that kind of no matter what, you'll always have room to improve.
Yeah.
So for me, that has meant, well, don't wait for this to be perfect before taking the next step. Like, we could spend 8 hours a day every single day for the next year. Just writing new stuff and polishing up a set, you know?
That sounds fun.
On some days, that sounds really fun, right? And on yeah. some days, it's really grueling, right? We've had those days where we're rehearsing stuff.
No, I just mean I wish we could do that instead of work.
Sure, yeah. But I think even jobs. There, that would sound really fun some days. And with yeah. some days, no, you yeah. know, we've had those rehearsal days where it is just, we're just yeah. trying to get through it. We're just trying to make sure that we know where just the form of the song. We're not focusing on making it sound nice. Yeah, yeah. So there are really tough days sometimes where we're both tired and unmotivated and we know we have a show in 2 days and we're stressed about that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we could spend all that time just focusing on the music side of it, but we also got to actually set up shows. We also got to perform, right? We also want to record stuff. We also got to do those things. Okay. So, right. I think realizing, well, not with the attitude of, well, this is as good as it's going to get, so let's add the next thing, but just, well, there will always be room for this to improve. We will always be able to get better yeah. in the performance aspect, but I think we're at a place now where we're stable enough or can become stable enough to start reaching out to people, to start playing more shows
mm-hmm.
and focus less on rehearsing and more on recording or gigging or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I do think there is something at our stage of how many people know us as a band.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to just be doing things
yeah.
out in the public, whether it be online yes. or on Patreon or podcasts or in person or
yeah.
whatever. I think
it's a lot easier to fail in front of 10 people than fail in front of 100 people.
Yeah. Know? Well, we just almost don't have that luxury. I mean, that's the whole point of like, you hear right. the stories of people in any mm-hmm. line of work, they hustle at the beginning. That's
right.
just
right.
how you do it. So,
and we had that one show whenever last spring sometime where we played 2 hours for no one. For like
literally
no one.
The barista
barely
but they didn't even turn the music off of that.
The first few songs, they just kept the house music playing.
Because we were like, we gave them a thumbs up. We're like, are we
like,
good to go?
We're good to go. And they were like,
and
yep,
they're like
go,
yep.
Go
and then we started and it's like.
And their music, Michael Bublé, was playing.
So when I asked him, he was like, okay. I was like, sorry to interrupt
yeah.
your
it really
coffee
was
mix,
like
coffee house
mix. A couple people came in and out. But they came in and then left.
And they didn't mind. I mean, it was fine. It was a great venue, very beautiful.
It was such a nice venue.
Completely glass.
And it was like brick floors.
And it was kind of in the country feeling.
Yeah.
So it was like overlooking this field. And the acoustics it was just really echoey.
It was very nice.
So.
But it was like.
But we drove like an hour to get there.
A small little town, kind of off the beaten path of this small little town at a yeah. coffee shop starting at like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
On like a Thursday.
It was a little misinformed.
Yeah.
About what, like, if we were supposed to bring the people or if there was going to be, like, a lot of people there. So.
Anyway.
Because I thought it was, like, the Well type of thing. Because the Well is a coffee house, too.
Right.
But they have hours that are, like, concerts. So I, for some reason,
and they have something there just about, like, every single night. Whereas I think at this place, I think they were just trying to implement live music. And
but for some reason, it was, like, they only had night spots open. Anyway.
Right. Right. So it's the kind of thing, I'm sure, you know, if we went back there at 11 a.m. on a Sunday, it might be really awesome. It might be full.
Maybe.
But I don't know. We'll figure that out some other time.
But it's still a great experience. I mean,
it was.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about because, well, just to see progress and stuff and things that we want to get better at. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
One thing I think that we've gotten a lot better at, I've been going back and re-listening to some of the older episodes, and some of the early ones with guests are just overall, the show itself, I think, was just a lot, like, lower energy, and I think we were trying to be, like, more, this is the goofy part of the show, and now we're getting serious type thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I think, and that's been, like, a more active decision over the past several months of, like, let's just keep things fun. Let's just keep things energetic, and let's talk about things that are cool and interesting and important to us, but listening to some more recent interviews and, like, actually being there in the conversation, it feels much more engaged and, like, it's a more free-flowing conversation. But some of the early interviews, I listen back and I'm like, why did you ask that question? That doesn't make any sense. Or just kind of, cool, cool. So, and I was like, why did I not edit out that pause? That was the most, anyway.
Yeah. One more thing that I thought of that just came to my mind of things that we've learned since Nashville. I think, it is Aiden and I working together as part of Opal Entertainment, and we both can be visionary sometimes, and then we can also be integrators in other times. And it's like learning to what to be for the other person, but also for yourself. It's
right.
I think it can be like there has been moments of butting heads in some areas because we don't see like it. Not even seeing eye to eye. It's more like
it's just what mode are you in? You know?
Yeah. Or just understanding where they're coming from or what, if they're in the visionary mode or is this them trying to integrate something?
Yeah.
Or and is it just them dreaming, which is like really good to do, but sometimes when the other person's like, no, we have, which is usually me, I guess.
Really?
Isn't it?
I mean,
where
it depends,
it's like, okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to do by this day?
Right.
Where, yeah. So,
yeah.
But then sometimes I can be off saying all these things and then that can be like, wait, what about, then you're thinking, well, we have to get this done by today.
Right.
So it's just like learning when to talk about those things and like when the other person just needs to let out that stuff and just know that they're dreaming. That's part of who they are.
And I think I have really like a much more like broad concept of like, oh, it'd be so much fun to have to do this type of tour with this band, you know, in this time frame, and those are my things.
Yeah.
And you are much more specific of like, it'd be really fun to have these curtains on the stage and have this mug that we use for coffee.
Envision it.
Yeah, you just do that, and that really excites you. But to me, I'm like, I don't care.
Well, yeah, you were just talking
that.
About today, which I'm trying not to let like myself, I'm just like, it's a fun idea. Can I share?
I don't know what it is, but
you were talking about writing a musical with some friends that we had just talked about. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to write a musical. And I was like, oh, great. But after we today had just gone through, because we're going to be, I don't want to spoil too much. I don't know.
We have some potentially big time consuming plans in the coming
for the next couple months.
Yeah.
And then hopefully doing some sort of summer tour next year. So it's like, when the heck would we write a musical?
Right.
But it's like, we should think of those things and be open-minded and like you never know when projects and people and where, you know, what aspects of your life you're supposed to go towards. But then also if you choose something, follow through.
Yes. And I think I'm much more, once we actually make the decision, like, okay, we're moving forward, then I'm all in. But before that, I'm totally fine with just saying, that'd be so much fun to do this, and I'm talking about it, and I'm just spitting out ideas. And I'm not trying to nail anything down.
No,
right,
I know.
I'm not trying to solidify exact
but
plans.
But maybe it was just because after we had just like, okay, this is what we're doing.
We were very specific, like minute details.
We're going to write a musical. Yeah. What? That was not in the plans. That was, we only have like, is that from like 4 p.m. to 4:15? I don't know.
Right,
funny to me.
And anyway, but.
So I'm just, I say that because I feel like people can relate when they're in like, business partnerships with people. It's like I feel like that can always be room for that. That's one of the hardest things to do, I think, with business partners. So
we have very different processes, we have very different systems, and it's tough to know how to best like work with each other.
Yeah. A lot and of sometimes times. Within one big goal, we have different goals that matter to us.
Right.
Which is just also right. interesting.
Like with the house shows, I care a lot about the sound of it and making sure that like we're communicating with the band and with the hosts and all that. And you are concerned with making sure we have the snacks, you know, or whatever, and making sure that, that the atmosphere is correct and the decorating and all that, which I think are both very important. And so learning how to best...
Well, that's because, well, we need both of those.
We do, yeah. So that's what I was saying is like, it's easy for me to, we were talking about this the other night, but it's really easy for me to just like laser focus in on what's right in front of me. Like whatever's right in front of me is what I want to work on, which has its pros and cons, but what was I doing at this point? I don't remember.
I think the moral of the story is everyone plays different strengths. And I suppose if you weren't stepping into something, if you weren't stepping into the sound role, I think I'd probably step, but because you stepped in, then I step into this role. So you kind of like makeshift depending on who you're working with.
Right. And I think, and here's one thing that, and that was my the larger point I was trying to make is like learning how to delegate within a group, right?
Yeah.
Learning how to say, I'm assuming these responsibilities. Can you take care of these things?
Which is almost harder when there's only two of you.
It is. Yeah, it is. But it is. I mean, I think one thing is I am a big, you know, let's communicate. Let's make sure we're always on the same page and all that. And I say that, and then as soon as that happens, well, not as soon as that happens, but you come to me with these super like specific details, and I'm like, Liv, I don't care. Why are you asking me about what cups we're getting? You know, but I can also see myself. If you get the wrong cups, I could be very peeved by that. So I absolutely, you know, and then I'm not going to you and explaining to you, here's what the sound setup is going to be. You know, I'm just kind of assuming, well, she'll figure it out once we get there. So you know what I mean? Is I think that's kind of. It's telling about me, I think, like how I communicate things, how I say, you know, here's the absolute definitive principle we should live by and how we should work and communicate with each other. Yeah. And then I also have this like, well, these are the exceptions is when I'm focusing on this, I don't have to talk to you about it. Yeah. And when you're focusing on that, you probably shouldn't tell me because it's going to annoy me. But if you do it wrong, I'm going to be upset, you know? Yeah. So
yikes.
It's frustrating and unfair a lot of the time. So, and it has been, we have had a lot. I don't know. There was a time where I remembered being frustrated. At this point, I had known you for like 10. No, it wasn't quite that long. It would have been at least like 4 years that we've been like good friends and like working with each other. And there was this moment that I was like, this is the first time I've actually been frustrated with Liv. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was over because I wanted to change the script name.
Yeah.
We had two characters in the show. One was like your everyday character. Like mine was named Stuart. Mm-hmm. And then the character Stuart played was Julia because it was like a play within a play type feeling. Not really, but I'll just explain it that way. So I think everything was labeled as Julia, but to me...
No, everything was labeled as Stuart. And then in parentheses, it would have Stuart, and then it was with the Julia name tag as Julia at like the first, and then it would specify when she was wearing the name tag or not.
I think, yeah.
But I guess at that point it was like, I was frustrated with you because I was like, we've been performing the show for like 3 years at this point. One. Second, because your argument was like, is the audience going to be confused? And I was like, the audience isn't going to see the script. The audience is just going to see us do it.
Wasn't the script for like the tech people or something?
No, we were the ones doing it the sound. Yeah, Chuck did sound.
Oh.
But even so, it was like, we know who, if it says Stuart or it says Julia, both of them are Olivia, so I don't know. That was one of those moments where I was like, the first time I was legitimately frustrated with you. Anyway, all that to say, and out of like 4 years, there was one time I got frustrated. Maybe I shouldn't say this.
But the last year you've gotten frustrated. Last year
I've gotten a lot more frustrated with you. But I think that's because because we've been more honest with each other, which again has its pros and cons, right? Anyway, maybe we should move on from this side of things.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it comes with just working with people and getting older and figuring stuff out.
Right. Well, let's move on to the next thing then.
The weight of the air just got really heavy.
We're going to get a little bit tense if we go further down that direction. I do want to just say, I really like working with you, Liv.
No,
I think you're very, you're one of those people when we are both like on a roll, it, I feel like we're just like sprinting down a hill. Yeah. And it's like such a good feeling to feel like we're making this crazy progress and we're both super excited about it. And that's a lot of fun. So I don't want to make it sound like we're constantly fighting with each other and not, and we're just biting the bullet for fame because that's not working out so well. What is something you have changed your mind about over the last year?
Even if you're always surrounded by cake, you're not always going to want to eat it.
Wouldn't. Okay.
I thought if I was surrounded by cake all the time, I'd always want to eat it.
Mm. But you don't. Mm. But you still always want chocolate.
Well, duh.
That's an entirely different discussion. Do you think if you're like a chocolatier, you would get, you would not crave chocolate at any point? Or would you just maybe constantly want to eat everything?
I think the reason for the cake thing, though, is because they're frozen when we frost them.
What did you say?
The cakes I frost at an unnamed location are frozen when we do it. They're baked on site, so they're fresh, but they're frozen. So you don't smell freshly baked cake. Otherwise, I think I would want to eat the cake more.
Okay.
Understand?
Yeah. I just don't think it's that interesting. What is something that you have changed your mind about over the past year?
I already answered you.
That's your big answer?
What have I changed my mind about? I'm trying to think of like big things. Well, I walked into, you know, what we talked about earlier about when we moved to Nashville, wanting to like meet people and do all that types of stuff. So it wasn't necessarily like I changed my mind, but I feel like I'm more actively decided to do the things that I had made up my mind about doing. Does that make sense? Kind of.
Like play shows.
Like taking those risks and stuff. Even though I like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So it wasn't like I was like changed my mind because I always wanted to do those things, but I just finally have feel like we've been implementing them, those ideas. Mm-hmm. So it's not a change of mind, but more just an implementation of that of those strategies and ideas and stuff. What about you? I know you probably have an idea, an answer.
I've changed my mind about a lot of things.
I feel like I must have too. I just can't think of what.
They're not. You did. You're a pretty stubborn person. You made up your mind when you were like 11 and you haven't changed since. I thought there were things that just, there was like a certain, there were certain topics that I find interesting that I want to talk about that I thought I could only talk about with a select few. And I think I've realized that there are more people willing to talk about those things. And with that, I think has come, it's not like I was lying before, but I think I feel more honest recently. Does that make sense? Because I would feel like, ah, people don't care about this side of me, the specific interest of me, so I'll just chit-chat about whatever it may be, right? And it wasn't ever very, I've never been good at that, really. But I think I've realized there are people out there who actually want to talk about the things that I want to talk about that also they don't want to chit-chat either. So yeah, I think it's kind of been a bit of a mind shift over the past several months of realizing, I don't know, it sounds so cliche, but just kind of people aren't going to, it's this paradox I created in my own head of like, well, I'm not going to talk to this person about this thing until they get to know me at this point, but they're not going to get to know me at that point if I'm not actually being completely honest and myself, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of, I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but like, you know, just be yourself or whatever. I think I've just really realized I'm just going to talk about what I find interesting. The other night I met Shannon's roommate, Barb. I think I had met her. I guess it was like the second time I'd met her. And we were just talking about Pixar movies for a little bit. And I was just like, oh, great. I'm not going to make small talk. We're going to talk about the weather. We're not going to talk about politics or the sports or anything. You know, light. I don't know why I threw politics into that. anyway, one other thing I think I've learned a lot, which is kind of a big like mind shift, is it's not, things aren't one or the other. Most of the time, things aren't completely binary. Almost everything, there may be one ultimate decision, but it's very, very, very rarely one thing or another thing. It's almost always one thing or another thing and a few more things. And quite often my final decision has been this kind of combination of those things. I think I realize it's much more of a, most issues and conflicts in my head exist on the spectrum. And I'm trying to like find where is the perfect center of that spectrum where I can still take all the pros of those things, but not go too far into them where I neglect the other things and also, fall into like the cons of those things. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, yeah, that's one thing I think I've learned that I think has been cool. And I think the podcast has helped me with that a lot. Like you were saying earlier about just talking more, has been good. I mean, I talked a lot before. This isn't, I probably, the actual time I spent talking is probably about the same.
But I feel like when we're, you know, on a podcast, we want to limit your editing.
Right.
So we're and we want to be entertaining. We try to be articulate and make ourselves understood.
Right.
And just discuss things nicely. And
right.
So.
And we don't just go, I don't know, and move on. You know, and that might be the final conclusion.
Which,
but.
Yeah, it just helps us to really like work out ideas and stuff, which is cool.
And are there, and that was kind of my question earlier, are there any ideas we've talked about on the podcast where you've gone back and thought of and gone?
I honestly just don't even remember a lot of them. I feel like we, I don't know. I can't remember what I've said about some things, you know, so I'm sure that there is, but I can't think of it. I know you've listened back a little bit.
I have. What do you want to do going forward?
What do you mean?
What are the things that you want to achieve and accomplish and participate in the future?
Well, I would like to be a musician full time. That means a lot of things, obviously. Could mean writing and gigging and all that types of stuff. I would like to write more songs by myself, or just at least be able to have a fully formed song to show you. And obviously we can like workshop together.
Sure.
Because I would love your opinion and input and stuff, but I want to be able to like pick a cool chord structure that's like fun and write melodies and stuff on my own. A lot of times when we're right, Aiden has a progression. And then it can depend on who has the lyrics and stuff. But sometimes like I can create the melodies off of what you're playing. But to just do something like that fully by myself, I just think would just give me the confidence as well, just to be able to feel like I could write with other people. So that's a goal of my own personal self. I want to keep enjoying music. I want to keep finding music. Keep meeting people. And like just, I want to feel like I'm working hard at things that I think are important. So just making sure that, you know, obviously you don't want to like reassess every day because that's exhausting, which try not to do too much. But I also want to keep reminding myself, is this the path that I'm supposed to be going on? Is this, you know, and figure that out as I go and not let it be like a big, heavy weight, but more as like asking a question out of excitement of like, okay, what's next?
Right.
What now? And things like that, which is hard to do, obviously.
Well, you said like doing important work. What does that mean? What is important?
I think just important work to me is like work that I is put on my heart to do, you know, is what God tells me to do is important. That's it.
It's a pretty vague
definition. Sorry.
But we'll move on, I guess.
Do you know what important work is to you?
I mean, yeah, that is a correct definition, what you just said, I think. I think I mentioned this a little bit. I just finished a book called Walking on Water by Madeline Linkle. I'm going to recommend it until the day I die, probably. It is so good. It is one of the most beautiful books I've ever read, and it's definitely the most moving nonfiction I've ever read. I think it's the only nonfiction book that I read and cried at several different points. It's so good. It's so good. But one of like my biggest takeaway when it finished was, because it's all about Madeline Lingle talking about how what it means to be a quote unquote Christian writer and how she doesn't like that term Christian writer because she sees like what it means to be a good writer, what it means to be a good artist is what it means to be a Christian. It's to be, it's being honest. It's representing truth. It's showing the reality of God. It's engaging with his creation. It's connecting with people. It's creating community. You know, both artists and Christians are called to do that. And so I think I realized partaking in, you know, engaging in his creation and engaging with community, I've been thinking of very narrowly in the context of creativity. You know, you need to be painting or making music or sculpting or whatever. And I think I realized, like, no, it doesn't. You can, it's also road construction and baking for your kids and just having kids, you know? Mm-hmm. That is absolutely engaging in God's creation every bit as much as writing a symphony or making a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something else that I want to do this year really badly is travel. Oh. Like, I want to get my passport. Wow. Just have on hand, just ready. Flights to, like, Europe and stuff are really not that much.
Okay. We could do a European tour, maybe.
I kind of, or I can do a solo backpacking trip to find my true self.
Okay. I will sneak behind you to make sure you don't get murdered.
No, I don't know. But wouldn't that be fun?
The solo backpacking trip?
Just travel.
I would stress out the entire time if you were in Europe by yourself. Aww. For an extended period of time.
That makes me feel good, like you like me.
Yeah. I also don't believe in you. That's the main component. You didn't. Sorry.
No, you're make I believe everyone in think you. I'm some little thing.
Like a weak little schmuck?
Yeah.
I was talking about wanting to be honest earlier. You're not a weak little schmuck. You're a big fat schmuck.
That's just like, you got to put down your big goals and dreams.
So throw it out on the podcast and they will hold you accountable. Come through.
I would like to travel out of the U.S. and not just to Canada. But like a
Canada's not in the U.S.
Exactly.
Did you say I would like to travel a lot of the U.S.?
Out of the U.S.
Oh, okay. I said I want to travel a lot of the U.S. and not just Canada. And I was like, that doesn't... What?
No. I would like to travel. I think that would be fun.
Okay.
What about you? What would you like to do in the next year?
I want to work with a bunch more people. I definitely want this next album to be a lot more collaborative with more than just you and I. Mm. I want to perform more shows. I want to meet more people. I want to start a new project, whether that's another album after we release the other one. Liv, don't roll your eyes.
But you just said a year. The next year you want to
start. That doesn't mean.
Oh, okay.
That can literally mean like have two songs and go, okay, I think I have an idea for maybe the direction the next album is going to go, you know? Cool things. We're going to do some really cool things this year. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week for a brand new episode of
Between Takes.